Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 10. Thank you, Casey. That's a beautiful song. You did a great job. I just love songs that lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And truly, that one was one that did. Thank you for being here today. We want to welcome, as Brother Keith already has, welcome our visitors. Appreciate you being here today. Want you to know you're our honored guest. If we can do anything to help you while you're here, be sure to just speak to one of the ushers or myself. We'd be glad to help you any way we can. Mark chapter number 10. Today I want to speak to you on a subject that I trust will be a blessing. We're going to look at a passage of scripture that with most people we look at it and we wonder why it's in the Bible. But yet it's in the Bible for a reason, and I'll give you that reason in just a few minutes. But I will begin reading verse number 23 and read through verse 27 to get our full text this morning. And Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven?" And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again, saith to them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God?" Listen to what he said. This is the most unusual verse that you'd ever see or think to see in the Bible. "But it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, he said, "With men it's impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, "All things are possible." Listen, if God wants a camel to go through the eye of a needle, he can make it happen. And he can do whatever needs to be done. And by the way, the main emphasis is on the rich man rejecting what the Lord told him that he needed to do. But yet we find here he turned away from what God had given to him. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together this morning. I pray that you would just have your will and way here in the service. I pray that your name would be exalted, lift up, and glorified. I pray that you'd help us with the message. And Lord, pray that you'd prepare the hearts of those that are here to hear. And Father, we again thank you for the blessings of just being able to be here today. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. In World War I, the American troops, the 308th Regiment, was surrounded by enemy forces, and they were under severe mortar attacks and machine gun attacks that was coming their way. Casualties were very heavy and supplies were very short. But an unbearable situation intensified when the American artillery began shelling the sector of the 308th Regiment. The only communication they had, they didn't have telephones and probably not even walkie-talkies as much then. The only way of communication they had was with what they call homing pigeons. And they would usually put a message on tied to the leg of the pigeon, and he would fly to the place that he would have been trained to go to. And that's the only way to get a message around. But the sad part about it is now they were down to their last pigeon. They were in desperation. Sergeant, we came to see that they had dug in, and the sergeant released the last bird with a note pleading for the Americans to hold their fire. As soon as the pigeon lifted off, he was hit by a stray bullet in the side of the head, and it tore out his left eye. Now, I'm assuming from what I've read, this is true story, and many people, and so I want you to understand that. But towards that, then he flew on, and then a piece of shrapnel somewhere hit his chest, shattering his breastbone. But his homing instinct was strong, and he struggled out onward to get to the place he knew he needed to get it to go. Somewhere in the flight, it wasn't over, another piece of shrapnel tore off his left leg, leaving the message in the canister and all that was hanging from a ligament that was left on his body. The 308th was what seemed to be an impossible situation, but the pigeon flew on, and the order went on immediately to stop the shelling. The 308 survived. The 308th Regiment was what seemed to be an impossible situation. But it seemed improbable the homing pigeon would make it through the withering fire, especially with what he experienced to get there. I would say God had a hand in that, wouldn't you? And I say with God, all things are possible. You know, you may be here this morning, and I'm going to tell you, I have faced some seemingly impossible situations. Now, I'm glad I know God today, and I'm glad I know that with him, all things are possible. I don't do anything that I don't understand. God cannot give me the strength to do, or He will not give me the strength to do. I believe God will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Yet today many find themselves being trapped, just like the 308th. We may not have machine guns and mortar being shot at us, but what we do have is all kind of oppression that may come upon us. Sometimes our enemies close in around us. I tell you today, none of us like our enemies to be enemies with us. The greatest enemy of all is the devil himself, and he'll do everything he can to destroy you. But enemies close in around us, and we don't know what to do. I'd say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Trials besiege us. I would say today, if I ask you to raise your hand, that the majority of the people in this building would raise your hand this morning and said, preacher, I'm going through some trials right now, or I've been through some trials. I know everybody can raise their hand and say, you've been through some trials. And I hope you're not going through a trial right now, but you possibly come. And they seem to overcome us. They seem like it's unbearable. We seem like it's impossible. And then the burdens oppress us. I like the song that says, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. I'm so glad today that our burdens are lifted at Calvary. And then there's so much confusion that reigns within us. Oftentimes you talk to people about the Lord, and they've heard so many different things, and they just don't know what to believe. I can tell you today, you can believe the Word of God. It is the power of God, and it's the only thing that will save your soul if you put your faith and trust in it. Desperation clings to us. We get to a point in life where you just feel desperate. I know some of you, I've talked to some of you, I know you've been there. And it seems like I just can't stand it anymore. Could I remind you this morning, with God, all things are possible. Worry clouds our mind. You know it's a sin to worry. The Bible said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests made known unto God. Yet we all have a tendency, I'm included, I'm sorry to say, but I worry sometimes. Probably more than I should. Well, anytime I worry, it's more than I should. Because I've got a God in heaven that promised to take care of me and meet my needs. And then after all that, fear begins to fill our heart. We say, what about tomorrow? I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I know what He'll do for us. Then oftentimes, here's some you can relate to, especially us older folks. Pain begins to threaten our body. We begin to break down. And I tell you, we was talking yesterday. I tell you, when we... They had this water day yesterday, and it was 5 hours long. When I saw that, I said, 5 hours? Man, how in the world are they going to hold up 5 hours? But I tell you, they did. The workers was just going just as hard about 3:30, quarter to 4 as they were when they started. Now, I was sitting in the fellowship hall in the air conditioning, to be honest with you. But I just can't handle that no more because of the pain that overwhelms me. There seems to be a way out of our predicament. We've all been there. Some are there now. But the text reminds us today that there's always hope. The challenge is to look forward to the present, look beyond the present circumstances to see what God is able to do. And God's able to do what He wants to do. And He can do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think. What we do in the passage, Mark chapter 10, we read about it. There was a rich young ruler. He came to Jesus to speak about spiritual matters. I believe he was much concerned about his soul. And when Jesus commanded him to give up his wealth and follow Christ, the young man turned away from Jesus, choosing to have his wealth rather than have the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you today, all the money in the world could not replace what Jesus did for me on the cross of Calvary. I tell you today, I'd rather die a pauper, knowing that I was going to heaven, than to die a wealthy man, knowing I was going to hell. And yet, this is what took place here. This event, I believe, teaches us that men love wealth. And let me just clarify something. He's not saying here that rich people can't go to heaven. It's not what he's saying at all. In fact, anybody that wants to go to heaven can go to heaven. But he's talking about those that choose their wealth over him. There's some people, I talk to some people sometimes, and I say, listen, are you saved? Would y'all come to church or whatever? Well, preacher, Sunday's the only time we got to do anything. And so we just got to do our thing on Sunday. And one day when we get older, we'll serve the Lord. More than likely, you'll not. Yet I find today in our passage of scripture, Jesus was challenging the man. And here's what he said. It's easy. You know, I wondered why God didn't make me rich. I wondered why he didn't make me rich because, and by the way, I'm blessed, okay? I'm not saying I'm poor by any means of the imagination. But by this man rejecting the salvation for his wealth, Jesus said, verse 25, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know why? Because he's self-sufficient. He does everything he needs. He can pay for it. He don't need any extra. But when it comes to salvation, he's not able or willing to give up his wealth even for salvation. And thank the Lord for people that are wealthy or have wealth. Many people bless the church through their giving. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm not putting everybody, you know, in one spot and saying this is the way it is. Here's what I'm saying. Is I'm saying today, when we choose the riches of this world, and we choose the recreation of this world, and we choose things above that, then basically he's dependent on his wealth and his riches and the things that he has rather than salvation with God. Jesus, in the smallest opening in the home, declare the impossibility. What he's trying to say with anyone, it's impossible to you to save yourself. Did you know that? It's impossible. Jonathan Edwards said, to take on yourself to work, to take on yourself to work out redemption is greater than if he had taken it upon yourself to create a world. In other words, to think you can get saved, you just well think you can create the world. But that can't be happening because the Lord's not going to allow that and will not happen. And so the Bible said when he told them that, the disciples were astonished. The wonder is who can be saved? And that's exactly what they said. They were astonished in verse 24, his words. But Jesus answered and saith unto them, children, how hard is it, them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Don't trust in your money to get you to heaven. Don't trust in your goodness to get you to heaven. Don't trust in yourself to get yourself to heaven because it's impossible for you to get to heaven on your own. But with God, all things are possible. I hear people all the time say, God can't save me. God can save anyone that'll call upon the name of the Lord and receive his wonderful grace. He finishes in verse 27. I just basically quoted it. But in verse 27, he said, with men, it's impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. The primary interpretation I want you to see is not so much the emphasis of what he's saying, but I want you to notice the words that we find. He says, with men it's impossible, but with God, what? All things are possible. So that gives me even more hope. I'm glad to know today that I have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ because he's told us that nothing's impossible with him. You may be facing some impossible situations, and yet you just need to keep trusting the Lord. It's not to say that he's going to do what you want him to do because he doesn't work that way. He does it according to his will and according to his plan. The first thing I want you to notice, I only got 2 points this morning, but first of all, humanity's problems. The second point is going to be God's power, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But humanity's problem. Man has a number of imposing problems in his life. But you know what the number one problem with man is? It's sin. Sin in his life. Sin hinders us from being what we ought to be, serving God. We're born in sin. We live in sin. And unless we get saved, we're going to die in sin. And we're going to have to go to a place the devil has prepared for his angels and dwell there with him forever. Another problem with the sinner today or with the human, it's not only is it a sin problem, and by the way, it is a sin problem, but we find it's a problem we have that we are weak, that we are weak. Now, I'm not talking this morning about physically weak. I'm not talking about this morning, weak in body, but I'm talking about weak in our life. We lack the power to accomplish anything in the eternal. Anything. We like the power to change other people. As much as I'd like to. I wish if you were here this morning that you were lost. I wish that somehow magically I could call you down front and pray for you and you'd be saved. But it don't work that way because I can't save you and God can't save you. But the Bible said, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We see here he teaches us this. We have no power to change other people. Now, when I say that, you say, well, preacher, we can talk to people, and you can. But I promise you, if they get changed, it's going to be God that did the changing. And you need to understand that we're just a bunch of nobodies serving a great God in our life. We also lack the power to change circumstances. One of the things at the Bill Rice Ranch, I can't remember what it was they said, but they tell the counselors every week before it started, they said, listen, if it rains the days we're having the activities outside, there's nothing you can do about it. They go on to name a number of things. If they happen, you can't do anything about it. But they basically tell you there's somebody that can do something about it. So don't talk to others. Don't complain. Don't gripe. Just pray to the Lord, because he's the only one that can change it. And when it comes to salvation, he's the only one that can change your heart and make you what you need to be. When people feel trapped, they begin to do irrational things. They attempt to flee their problems. They stand up and scream for their rights and for power. But always do so from a position of weakness. People protesting. We see that all the time now, don't it? It don't matter what it is, they'll protest. Protesting about the injustice involving law enforcement. People forming a mob and protesting about anything. One of the reasons people protest is because they feel powerless. They want power, they want strength, they want help. But for the child of God, we need to see that people want to see change, but they can't get the change the way they want. I'm not going to get started on that this morning. There's a lot of things I could say about it. It bothers me, people breaking in stores and stealing stuff that don't belong to them. And all they want is they want power. The same powerless follows us in every area of our life. We feel trapped. We feel trapped many times in financial situations. We feel trapped in dealings with other people. Some feel trapped in their lives, and the pressure continually mounts. They feel trapped, and they just can't get free. I knew a man that got trapped. His name was David. The Bible said at one point in his life, here's where he was. In Psalm 55, verse 4 through 8, David said, my heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are falling upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, when I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah, I would hasten my escape from the windy storms and the tempest. David wanted to flee his problems. He was going through some difficult times, and he said, oh, if I had wings. Have you ever thought of that? I remember somebody saying to me one time, they were going through a very difficult time. They said, wouldn't it be nice if you could just disappear and appear where you want to appear? It might be, but I like trusting God better. It might be what seems to be an easy way out, but it ain't going to happen, because there's nothing you and I can do to get to that place in our life. When sickness comes and you can't get it healed, you feel weak, you feel useless. When death comes, you're powerless to stop it. You feel weak. You feel like it's nothing. And by the way, all these things are out of our hand. Sickness, death, and I believe there's things we can do to try to take care of our sickness. And hopefully we are taken care of by doctors or whatever in our life to keep us to live as long as we can. But when pain, sorrow, and depression come, you can't do nothing about it. And you just feel helpless. You feel weak. You say, where am I going to turn? What am I going to do? When our enemies gather around with intimidation and threats, you're helpless to stop them. In other words, I want you to understand today, you're weak. You're weak. And I need to be weak. We need to be weak. That's where God wants us to be, is weak. I like the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. For the Bible tells me so. It goes on to say, I am weak. I am weak, but he is strong. Remember Paul, he struggled with a thorn in the flesh. It was a pain that he endured for a long time. And yet, God did not give him an answer. In fact, God wanted him to be weak. He wanted Paul to be weak so he would, wanted to be weak so Paul would not depend on Paul. He wants you to be weak so you don't depend on yourself, because you don't have that power. God wanted Paul weak so Paul would depend upon the Lord. I tell you today, here's what we just discussed. If wealth was something that the disciples was going to get somebody to heaven, and they were astonished that it wouldn't, then how much more, even in our life, do we see that whatever it is we face in life, if we were strong and wealthy, we may not have a need for God, or at least think we didn't. But by the fact that we're weak, and I'm not saying poor, but because of maybe the situation we're in. But listen, here's Paul's testimony. He said in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 through 10, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Isn't that what the song said? When I'm weak, I become strong. He's telling us he understands this truth in our life. Paul knows the weakness is in our environment of God, of serving God. The sovereign power to flourish comes from his strength, not my strength or your strength. So there's humanity's problems. This is what keeps people from being saved. They become dependent on their own self. They become dependent on their wealth, and they think anybody. But I'm going to tell you something again. Let me emphasize to you. It doesn't matter. Thank the Lord for people that give the offerings. We could not have this facility and have what we have here if it was not for people that give sacrificially. But I can tell you right now, if you're dependent on that to get you to heaven, you need to talk to me, because I'm telling you, that ain't going to happen. The only way you're going to get to heaven, and I've already said it, is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, putting our faith and trust in him, calling upon his name, repenting of our sin, and seeing him gloriously saved. And by the way, even if we are saved, and we're allowing things to hinder us and things to trap us up and feel trapped and there's no hope, friend, there's hope in the Lord. He can do all things. He can do all things through Christ. Then the second thing I want to mention is God's power. This passage highlights man's weakness, but it exalts God's power. I mentioned to you a while ago in that verse, it says all things. And it's important to understand that, because literally it is in all things. Remember the context of the verses. We're talking about salvation. But he wants us to know God's power is able to save anyone from their sin if they'll put their trust in him. The reason that should give us hope is here's where the problem in our life really lies, is in the miracle of salvation. Salvation is a miracle in its greatest order. There's nothing any greater, any higher. Somebody said, what's the greatest miracle of all? I don't know about what your miracle is, but I tell you, the miracle of my life was when God reached down and picked me up, set my feet upon a rock, and established my going and established my way. To accomplish our salvation, there was a price paid, but not with the rich man's money. It was paid with the willingness of those who are willing to put their faith and trust in him. To accomplish our salvation, God had to leave heaven. Now, I'm going to tell you, we often talk about, we know a lot of people that's in heaven. Boy, we've had a lot of them go to heaven recently. And I tell you today, that's one thing. I'm longing to see the Savior, but I'm longing to see some that have gone to heaven. But there's a lot that have gone to heaven today, and here's what we say, and rightfully so. Some might not, but this is what I say about my parents. If I could call my parents back, I would not do it, because I'm afraid they'd be mad at me for taking them away from a place called heaven. Friend, heaven's a wonderful place. Heaven's a place I want to live and dwell forever. Heaven's a place where God lives, and we'll be able to see him. But God, in order to provide salvation, he became a man. Can you imagine that? You said, in this old sinful world, you said, how could he do that? Well, he was tempted in all areas like we are. He went through much suffering and much difficulty. In fact, probably more, well, I know more so than you and I probably have ever had or ever will have. But the fact of it is, he came and laid his life on the line. But understand, he never sinned. He lived without sin, became the perfect man, the perfect sacrifice for our sin. He had to go to the cross. He had to die on an old rugged cross in order that you and I might have salvation. Becoming a man upon this earth would be one difficult thing, but to be nailed to a cross. Friend, I'm going to tell you, that's no joke. If you read your Bible, listen, it ought to make you cry as you read what they did to him when they nailed his hands to the tree and when they nailed his feet to the tree. Yet we find here, even in creation of the universe and all it contains, it pales to comparison to what God can do for the soul of the child of God that put their faith and trust in Him. In creation, God said, in the beginning, let there be light, and there was light. In fact, God spoke the whole creation into creation. Creation was a miracle of God. It was a miracle accomplishing what God spoke. And by the way, that's all God has to do is speak. You remember when they were on the boat, He said, peace, be still. And peace came about them. To accomplish our salvation, God had to become a man. He had to die on the cross to pay for our sin. He had to rise from the dead to give us eternal life. That's what gets exciting, to know that He died, He was buried, and on the third day, He rose again up out of the grave. Days later, He ascended back into heaven to be with His heavenly Father. What a glorious miracle that would have been. But he has to, in order for a man to be saved, his soul has to be quickened. He has to be convicted of his sin in his life. You say, what are you talking about? I believe with all my heart, the Bible says, no man cometh unto the Father except He draw him, the Spirit draw him. Now again, I believe God said that He died for everybody. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's true. But you know, in order to get saved, you know how I got saved? My mom and dad took me to church. I'm telling you, they took me every time the doors were open. I couldn't even believe how much we went to church. But you know what? I went to church and I kept hearing preachers preaching. I had many preachers through my life, but the main one that sticks out is Brother Chan McMillan. He just wouldn't leave me alone. He just kept preaching that stuff about being saved. And I tell you what, thank God, the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to get saved. And I remember the night that I got saved. You remember the night that you got saved. But literally, we're filled with the human spirit, with a revelation from God to let us know that we're a sinner. Let us know the consequences of our sin. And also, the work of eternal creation, which will never end. This old earth, one day, creation in our eyes is all that we can see. When you walk out today, look around, you see creation. Thank God for creation. It's a wonderful creation. But it's not all. One day we're going to see greater creation. But what we understand is one day all this down here is going to burn up and disappear forever. Here's the point. If we can create worlds with a single word and redeem souls by His grace, nothing is beyond the realm of the possibility with Him. Let me give you some verses. The Bible is filled with statements about God's power. In Job 42, verse 2, I know that Thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from Thee. In Isaiah 43:13, yea, before the day was, I am He, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, who shall let it? In Jeremiah 32:27, behold, I am the Lord thy God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible with him that believeth. In Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, for with God nothing's impossible. Do you believe it yet? Well, I got more. In Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Not only does God have power over all things, He doesn't need anybody's permission to use His power. Thank God we can plead with Him. In Psalm 115, verse 3, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He's pleased. Isn't that good? In Psalm 135, verse 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth and in the seas and all the deep places. In Daniel chapter 4, verse number 35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doth according to His will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, why doest thou? In Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. I tell you, I think the Bible tells us that with God, nothing's impossible. I believe there's enough scripture there. I didn't need all that myself. I just needed one. That's all I need. I just need it. But here again, instead of carrying around our spiritual, emotional needs, He He said, all things, have confidence in all things that God's able to do. He's able to handle them. So we don't need to carry our spiritual problems. We don't need to carry our emotional problems. We don't need to carry our physical problems. We don't need to carry our material issues with us. Bring them to Him. From time to time, people come to me and they have a question. And I'm grateful. I thank the Lord for people coming. And coming to me. And they, in fact, just today earlier, coming in the door, I was talking with someone. And they had something that I don't think was really bothering them, but they wanted an answer. If something's bothering you and you don't have the answer and you need another answer, then come to me. I'll be glad to talk to you. But most people feel like they bother me. But anyway, they asked the question, and I answered it, and everything was all right. Now, I don't know if it was burdening that person. It probably wasn't. I hope it wasn't, because it wasn't that big of a deal. But yet, that person was willing to reach out and ask me, or even let me know what's going on so we can pray. This is what the Bible says. Let me move quickly. Hebrews 4:15-16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we obtain mercy and find grace in the time, find help in the time of need. In Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. If God can save a soul, He can handle anything in your life. Friend, if He can give us the miracle of salvation, He can handle whatever it is you're going through, no matter what it is. Listen to this. In the Bible, God did several things. There was great miracles, but it showed His power. God stopped the sun for Joshua, if you remember in Joshua chapter 10. In Exodus chapter 14, God parted the Red Sea for Moses. And by the way, it dried up, and they went over on it. Exodus 16, God filled the desert with manna for the children of Israel so that He might feed them. In 1 Kings chapter 17, God fed Elijah with the ravens. In 1 Kings 17, God put meal in a barrel and oil in a cruse for Elijah. In Mark chapter 6, God multiplied loaves and fishes to feed a multitude. In Matthew chapter 17, God put a coin in a fish's mouth for Peter. Now that was really something, wasn't it? Oh, all of the things that I mentioned was something, because only God could do such a thing. What is it this morning He can do for you? What is it that you need in your life? Anything which is His will for your life, God can do anything. With God, remember, that's our text, with God, all things are possible. Last phrase in verse 27, with God, all things are possible. God can do anything. Let me just ask you this morning. What is your impossible situation? Is it a soul that you want to see saved? Don't give up. Keep praying, because God's able. Maybe it's a mountain that you need to be moved. You may have a need here this morning that needs to be met. It may be a financial need. It may be a spiritual need. It may be some other kind of need, but don't quit praying. God is able. A problem you need to solve. A burden you need to have lifted. A sickness you need healed. A situation you need wisdom and how to handle it. A problem you need a grace to accept. A desire for a closer relationship with God. Whatever it is today, bring it to the Lord. And don't understand, with God, all things are possible. I've heard people say, well, I used to pray for certain things, but I quit praying for them because I don't believe it's going to happen. I don't know when it'll happen. I don't know even if it'll happen. I don't know what you're praying for. But I know God hears and answers our prayer. And I know all things are possible with God. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, today for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come together. Lord, I thank You for Your word, for Your strength, for Your guidance, Your direction.